you're here, would you stand and worship with us? We sing, I believe.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
I believe.
I believe in the crucifixion. By his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his life is death's defeat.
All praise.
All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I live.
Party. your glory on our face. We're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason, 'cause you're the reason we're here. And you're
How are you doing this morning? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? It is good to be among other believers and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Welcome to Prestonwood. We are so glad that you're here. Before we do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone you haven't said good morning to yet? Say hello to them. And find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believers' baptism.
Good morning, Prestonwood. I have Mark Matthews with us. We're baptizing six this morning to begin our new year. What a great way to begin a new year. This is Arielano Baeza, who was invited to Prestonwood just 4 weeks ago and now is following Christ in baptism, along with his wife.
This is his wife, Rachel Solis.
Because of each of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Preston Keating.
And this is his dad, Donnie Green.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Nathaniel Botch.
And this is Michael Giese.
Nathaniel and Michael, because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Bear Christ the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
All right. All right. All right. Now, church, that's the way we start 2024. Amen. Husbands and wives, fathers and sons, men coming to faith in Christ. We still believe, as we sang just a moment ago, that Jesus has been changing lives, and he's going to do it again today. Amen? That's why we've come to worship. That's why we're here together in the house of the Lord, to lift high the name of Jesus. And we want to take this opportunity to welcome each and every one of you, to say how glad we are that you've chosen today, the Lord's Day, to be with us to worship together here as part of the family called Prestonwood. And if you're connecting with us online all over the world, literally, the Lord has blessed us with the opportunity to engage with folks from one corner of the earth to the other. And we're just so very glad for all of you that are joining us online today in worship that you're here with us. And we're praying for you as you worship with us. In just a moment, our pastor is coming to preach a powerful word. We're going to be launching a new series out of the book of Joshua. And we're so excited to be able to do that together, to worship together, and to lift high the name of Jesus. And we do want to say, for those of you that are visiting with us for the first time, it is our joy to have you as our guests. And we hope that you'll take this opportunity to do something for us. If you'll text the word CONNECT to the number 74788, that just lets us know that you are here with us today. It provides us a way for us to pray for you and to encourage you in the days ahead. When you text that number, something's going to pop up on your mobile device. It's a little link there. You can fill that out for us. That's just your gift to us, to let us know you were here. And we have a gift we'd love to share with you on your way out of the service today. If you would head to Guest Central, we have a team standing by there that would love to share a gift from our pastor. It's a book called The Essential Gospel. It's a wonderful tool that you can use in your walk with the Lord to help you in your walk with Christ. Maybe a gift that you could share with friends and family as well as you study it. But we'd love to share that with you today if you're a guest. And again, as we continue in our service today, our men are here and we're going to take our offering together in just a moment as we pass the plate. So many different ways that we can give here in the room, as many of you will do in just a moment, online and our giving kiosks all throughout the week. And our giving, really, as we said all year in 2023, our giving is an overflow of our gratitude, of the goodness of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus poured out in our lives. And in just a moment, as our pastor comes to preach from God's word out of the book of Joshua, we're going to be talking about moving forward in 2022. And no better way for us to go forward in our faith than in continuing in our faithfulness to the Lord. Prestonwood, you are a faithful people, and God is using you and this church to take the gospel of Jesus. As we just sang a moment ago, we still believe in the gospel, don't we? And the power of the gospel to change the lives of people. And church family, with your generosity and your faithfulness, God is doing that like never before. And there's much more to do in 2024. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, would our hearts be stirred in our giving today? Lord Jesus, that is our prayer, and that is our desire, that we would honor you, Father, in every part of our life, God, that we would be overflowing in gratitude and generosity. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say that you are welcome in this place today. Father, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've brought in the room with us, Lord, we know we can cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. And so, Jesus, this morning we pray that you would anoint our pastor, that you bless him, Lord, and speak through him and through the power of your inerrant and infallible word. Lord, that you change lives today. Father, we remember, as we sing in just a moment, you are the same God. In every page of the scripture and every story that we read, it's the same God showing up, moving mighty and miraculously, page after page after page. And so, Lord, we pray that we'd see it all over again, but in a fresh and new and powerful way in 2024. So, Lord, take this offering, God. Take our worship. Take your word. And, Lord, I pray that you'd multiply its effect and its impact in our hearts, through us as a church, and in the days ahead for your glory. And we pray all this in your powerful name. Amen.
Keep me covenant. I'm calling on
the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. For me, yeah. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm standing on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the Lord. With you all things are possible.
Thank you, God.
I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my back then, and you will answer now. Tell him, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God, move in power. You are the same God. You were
I love that song. I love the promises of that song. I love what that song reminds me of. That the same God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is the God who is in this room today. The stories he brings with him. The same God who kept his covenant with Abraham. The same God who split the sea for Moses. It's the same miracle-working, faithful God who is here today. He is faithful. Never breaks his promises, goes before us, beside us, and behind us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Psalm 36, 5, David says, your steadfast love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your what? Faithfulness stretches to the clouds. I think that is a promise we take with us into the new year, that no matter what we bring to the table, God remains faithful. Amen. Would you sing this with me? Let's sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou forever will be.
Tell him he is great.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy
sin. Let's sing.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide.
It's our strength.
Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, oh, mine, with 10,000 beside.
Come on, you sing. Church, you sing great.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
All I need,
all I have needed, thy
great is thy faithfulness.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year. It is 2024. And our theme for this year is forward. And we're going to speak of moving forward and taking the territory that God has already given us in Christ. It's a brand new message series. So turn in your Bibles to Joshua, the first chapter in your Old Testament. If you are familiar with your Bible, you know that there are two Testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. And the Old Testament is a preparation for all that God revealed in the New Testament in Christ. All of it is alive. This is the living Word of God. Maybe you're thinking, why in a new year would we go to an Old Testament? A lot of people think the Old Testament is, well, old. But what we're going to see in the messages from Joshua is, while there are two testaments, old and new, there is one story, and it is the story of our victory in Jesus. Amen. It is the story of salvation, redemption, and restoration. The Bible is the Jesus book. One of my goals in the last year was to write a new book on the Bible itself, the nature, the authority, how to read and understand your Bible. And so we completed that book and got it to the publisher at the end of this past year, just a few weeks ago, actually. And I'm calling it the Jesus book because the Bible, the book of God, is all about Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, you have history, but you also have destiny. You have the history of God's people and the destiny of every generation. There are great doctrinal truths and theological truths that we find in the Old Testament. And yet there's also devotional truths, spiritual truths that we apply. The Apostle Paul said concerning the Old Testament stories that he gave these stories, all of this, as an example to us. So what we're going to find in the story of Joshua, the children of Israel, as they move into the promised land, out of the desert and into the land of promise that God had provided, what we're going to discover is that the promised land is really about a promised life. It is the promised life that we have in Christ, all of it. And the theme of the book of Joshua is victorious Christian living. Don't you want to live a victorious life? Amen. No longer a victim to the circumstances of life, but victor in Christ over anything that comes your way. And I know as we look to the future, 2024, there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of pessimism today. But I believe we as Christians should be the most optimistic, faith-filled people in all the world. Because God has given us a promise, and that promise is secure in Christ. And we are standing on this promise, but we're also stepping into this promise. It's all about God's people moving forward and living this life that God has given us in Christ. Joshua, Yeshua, we named our third child Joshua. It means Jehovah saves, or our God saves. And Yeshua, Joshua of the Old Testament, is named Jesus in the New Testament. He is Jesus Yeshua. So our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, is leading us on and leading us forward in life. And God wants you to pursue this life of liberty, this life of freedom, this life of fruitfulness, this life of fulfillment. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. And that could also be translated a life that is rich and full, prosperous, because God has given us a life beyond our imagination. What does the scripture say? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more. I'm praying for more in 24. And that's not just a cliche. I mean it. I am believing God for more in my life. and in the life of our church. I want more love, more joy, more peace. I want to pray more and love more and give more and serve more. I want to witness more. I want to grow more. I want to be more and more like Jesus. There is much, much more for you and me in 2024. And that's the theme, going forward with our lives, entering and experiencing and then expressing this beautiful, wonderful life in Christ. So let's begin reading in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, not the son of N-O-N-E, but the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. You see, Moses was dead, but the mission was very much alive. Now, therefore, go arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Do you see the tense of the verbs there? I have, not I will give to you, I want to give to you. No, I have given you. It's already done. The victory is already won, just as I promised to Moses. And from the wilderness, and if you wonder who owns the land that is given to Israel and where it extends, you can see it here. The people of Israel have been given from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory, all of it. And verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Amen. God is faithful. He will not leave you or forsake you. So be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers to give them. God stakes his very character upon this promise. I have sworn to your fathers, I am promising you that what I have given you will come to pass. And what was true for Joshua and the children of Israel, because of our Yeshua, Joshua, is true for us. Now, a little background is in order, of course. So I want to give you a short version of the background. It comes from the book of Exodus, and it tells us that the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years until God brought them out. He raised up a deliverer, the great leader, probably the greatest leader in all of history, Moses. And Moses, through the miraculous hand of God, the miracles that took place in the land of Egypt, the miracles that took place on their way out, they came out under the blood as the Passover lamb was first slain in Egypt, and they put the blood on the doorpost here and here and here. Does that remind you of anything? The blood here, the blood here, the blood here. It reminds me of the crown of thorns, the blood upon the face of our Lord Jesus, upon his hands as he was crucified, nailed to a cross for us, the Lamb of God. They came out because of the Lamb. They came out of bondage into liberty, into the life that God, moving forward to the life that God had promised them. God brought them through the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea, and he led them forward towards the promised land. It was a short 11-day journey from Egypt to the land of promise. And so they are on their way until something happened. Though they were led and fed by the hand and faithfulness of God, they had the ultimate GPS system. They were led by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And yet, as they neared the land of blessing, the land that God had given them, they rebelled against God. And in unbelief, they turned away. And as a result of their unbelief, even though they had come out of Egypt, Even though God had said, go and take the land, they spend the next 40 years, a generation, dying in the wilderness, dwelling in the desert, walking around. They were stuck. They were stalemated in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And while they had come out of Egypt, they'd come, in effect, out of the world, because Egypt is a picture of the world, Pharaoh a picture of the devil. And they'd come out of Egypt under the blood, through the power of God, the miracle-working power and hand of God. Though they had come out, they did not go in because of their unbelief. And so they spent all these years, a generation, dying in the desert, murmuring and complaining, though God sustained them with miraculous manna from heaven, wonderful miracles along the way, because they were breaking God's laws and because they were not entering into the promise that He had given them by faith. They were in the wilderness. It was fear that kept them there, because they felt that they could not take the land and they did not believe God. They came out of bondage, but they never experienced these who died, the blessing and the benefit and the bounty of the land of promise, the land that God had given to them. Now, let's get the illustration straight. The promised land is not heaven. I know in some of our great old hymns we sing about heaven, and I am bound for the promised land, and on Canaan's fair and happy shore. And these hymns sometimes speak of Canaan and the promised land as being heaven. But the promised land in the Bible is not heaven. There were battles to fight and victories yet to be won. There were giants in the land, opposition in the land. And so God said, go and take this land. I love the theme of the Texas Rangers playoff run. You know, they won the World Series. And their theme was, you know what it was? Go and take it. And they took it. And God is saying to His children in every generation, look, He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, because of his own failure, died in the desert and was buried in an unknown grave. And all this generation, the parents and the grandparents of the generation now standing at the brink of the blessing, standing at the border of the promised land, they all died out because they could not, they would not believe God. And they would not go forward. Too many Christians have come out of Egypt, out of the world, and are yet living for the world. They've gotten out of Egypt, but Egypt hasn't gotten out of them. And so too many are desert dwellers, wilderness wanderers. They're stuck in the middle. They're sagging. They are stuck in the desert rather than embracing and experiencing the fullness of the promise of God, because the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey and beautiful grapes. Perhaps you've seen the symbol of tourism in Egypt. It's Joshua and Caleb, the two faithful spies. Joshua, the very man that we meet here in the scripture, by bearing the grapes of Eshcol, and those grapes were so heavy they had to carry it on a pole. So this land was flowing with milk and honey. It was bountiful. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And this speaks of the promised life that God has for you and me. That it is an abundant life, a fulfilling life, a fruitful life. And therefore, we're to take it. There's a time to look back over our shoulders, and we're going to do that a little bit next week and just celebrate all that God has done in this past year, 2023. But everything in the Bible that I read is always moving forward. It is onward and upward. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 3. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're pressing on. And he has, therefore, all of our tomorrows as well as this day. Just as he has been faithful to us in the past, he is faithful to us to the finish. And the promises of God are not just for Joshua and the children of Israel way back then, but they are for you and me, a generation, a new generation moving forward into the future. What this message series in Joshua is going to be about is making the rest of your life. Hebrews tells us in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament that this promised land is a land of rest. And in this land of rest, the rest of your life will be the best of your life. And I know that sounds like a cliche, and in some ways it is, but it's true for the Christian that the rest of your life, wherever you are, whatever stage, whatever age, whatever season you are in your life, the best is yet for the people of God. And that's what God is saying to Joshua here in this very first verse. He's saying, Moses is dead. That's all done. The past is past. But now it's time to go forward.
Amen.
It's time to move. And because of Jesus, dear people, your future is so much better and so much brighter than you can possibly imagine. You were made for more. Did you know that? You are made for more. Much more in your life. More joy and more understanding and more effectiveness in our witnessing, more strength and energy. There's no reason to fear the future. God will enable you to courageously conquer and defeat every enemy that is in front of you. So, with all that said, by way of introduction, how do we live in this victory? Number one, you must see it. You must see the victory that is in front of you. That's what God was doing for Joshua, so that Joshua could help the children of Israel to see it as well. He said, this land that I have given you, go and take it. It's yours for the taking. It's right in front of you. Go forward. He didn't say, I will give it to you. I want to give it to you. He said, go and claim your Canaan today. Go and take it now. Put your foot down. He said, every place that the sole of your foot, the bottom of your feet shall touch is already yours. I know we are to stand in faith and be steadfast in faith and stand on the promises of God, and we do. But there comes a time that we need to step into the promises of God. There's a time in which we stop standing and we start moving. And all of this is available to us in Christ. All of these blessings. You're going to find as we work our way, journey with Joshua through his book, General Joshua's journal, if you will, you're going to discover that it is akin to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. What Joshua is in the Old Testament, Ephesians is in the New Testament, and I say that because Ephesians begins in Ephesians 1:3 with the bounty of all the blessings. It says in verse 3 that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Not that he has or will when we get there, but already, all done. I have given this to you. 1 Peter 1:3 says that he has given us everything that we need, all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things are yours. The victory is yours. And what you need to do today first is to see it. It is the vision of God for our lives. To see it. To see this victory that we have in Jesus. And to see it, we see it through the lens of Scripture. We see it as we come to the foot of the cross, because our victory, all this is true, because the victory was gained and won and given to us at the cross. When Christ died and rose again, Jesus won the victory for you and me. We're coming up on our men's rally, coming up a couple of Fridays from now, January the 19th. And I want you to be here and be a part of this, men. Bring your friends. We want to rally men together. We're going to pray, worship. We're going to witness. We're going to hear great messages. And while the theme is awaken, it's a good theme. We're going to awaken to what God wants to do through us. But, you know, here's the real theme of our men's conference. And these T-shirts, I'm seeing them everywhere. Our bookstore, we've got them. You can help. You can get them online. But this is the victory. What does that mean, Jesus won?
He won.
It means that, yes, he won. And because he won, because he died, we died with him. But here's the story. Here's salvation. Because he rose, we rise with him.
Hallelujah.
And so death isn't the end of your story. It's just the beginning of your abundant and eternal life in Christ. And so Jesus won the victory for you and for me. And what we need to do is to see it. And because we rise with him, we rise to the occasion and give ourselves to his call to duty upon our lives. I'm calling this sermon the call to duty. What God was doing in calling and commanding General Joshua to get up and go and lead the people forward is our call to duty as well. And that is to fight the good fight. Because there are battles to be fought.
Amen.
2024 is a critical year for America and for the world. Did you know, and I'm not just talking about an election. I'm already hearing it from some Christians. I'm seeing it online, how much people are dreading the election. And of course, we dread the debate and some of the offense of an election year. But dear people, we can't sit out. We can't say, let somebody else do it. If we love our country, if we care about the future of our children and our grandchildren, we will be in the fight for the future of this country. And when I say in the fight for the future of this country, here's what I mean by that. That we would return this nation to the biblical principles, the biblical worldviews upon which this nation is built.
Amen.
And take it back from the leftists and the Marxists and the progressives and whatever you want to name it, who are destroying this country. And so please don't walk up to me and say, I dread the election. You go pray about it, and get right with God, and come back and start over. Because as America goes, so goes the world. And the world is in turmoil and trouble. Not only the war in the Middle East, but the powers that are moving against freedom in the world. And here in America, people are growing increasingly hostile to Bible-believing Christians. Do you know that? And this is not a time for weakness. This is not a time for wokeness. This is a time for courageous Christians to move onward and upward to the glory of God and take the land that God has given us. It's time to move on. You say, well, how are we going to do that? You have the power of God with you, with your family, with your friends, in our community. Yes, we have enemies. Yes, there are those who hate us, starting with Satan himself. Satan is our avowed enemy. But we're positive. We have a different mindset. We have a mentality that is different than the world. We know because of our victory in Jesus that we can not only see that victory, but we can seize that victory. And that's point number two, if you're taking notes, that we are to seize the victory. Why? Because 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't live in Egypt anymore. We're not bound. We're not dwelling in the desert. We're coming out. We're moving on. We're taking what God has already given us. And we do it by faith because we know that we can trust in God. The same God, we sang it, the same God who performed miracles in yesteryear is alive and well today. Do you believe that? There is no person that God cannot save. There is no promise that God will not keep. There is no problem that God will not solve. There is no mountain that God cannot move. There is no valley so deep that God cannot cover. There is no attic that God cannot redeem. There is no home or family that is broken that God cannot restore. There is no church that God cannot revive. There is nothing that our God cannot do. So that's why in Romans 8, verse 37, Paul is thinking about talking about all the things that come against us in this life. And he said, what could destroy us? What could take us out? Life or death or angels or principalities or demons or powers? No. No. For in all these things, we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just conquerors, more than super conquerors, supra conquerors in Jesus Christ. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the mindset. If you're living in the desert, you see the obstacles, you see the circumstances, and you live in the desert, you stay in the desert, you just die in the desert. But if you see what God has promised all of us in Christ, and then you step out and you seize it because the victory has already been won. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next weeks in this series. How in this victory we are claiming our Canaan because his presence, his promise is with us. We are more than conquerors. There's more victory to be won in Jesus. Amen. There's much more. And when it says we're more than conquerors, it's not like winning in the last second with a field goal or, you know, an overturned call over a substitution. It's not winning like that. Amen. It's dominating. Dominating. We don't just barely win. We win big time. We win it all. And that's why God says not only are you to say it or seize it and see it, but one last thing, you are to say it. Amen. Declare your victory in Christ. Speak it. You know what happened to those children of Israel in the desert? They were speaking defeat. They were murmuring and complaining and gossiping and whining and just looking at their circumstances and dying and they never experienced the fullness and the freshness and the fulfillment of the land of promise. And too many today, just like that, you've got a negative mindset. You're just murmuring and complaining and criticizing. You've got a mindset that is toxic to yourself and everybody around you. It's death. But when you walk into the victory that you have in Jesus Christ, your mind changes. It's called repentance. And when you repent and receive what God has given you, then you see and you say it. You declare your victory in Christ. They overcame him, the devil, by the word of their testimony. And when we speak the life of God, when we speak the word of God, when we speak the promises of God, then we live in the promises of God. So say it. Say it out loud. I will bless the Lord with all times. His praise will continually be what? In my mouth. I shall make my boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and come, let us exalt his name together. Say his name. It is the name of our God. And what we're going to be doing as a church going forward is we're going to keep exalting the name of Jesus. We're going to keep preaching the name of Jesus. We're going to keep sharing the name of Jesus. We're going to say the name and claim and seize our victory in Christ. That is what we do. I have a declaration that I wrote a number of years ago that I keep in my Bible, and I often remember it. I often rehearse it. It's a declaration. Most every day, in my time of prayer, before I leave my time alone with God, I make a declaration. Declaration of who I am and what I have in Christ. And you can do the same. My declaration says, I am a child of God. Chosen, beloved, blessed, blood bought, redeemed, reconciled, and righteous in Christ. I am committed to his cause, to his church, to his kingdom. My faith is in Christ alone, through grace alone, and my happiness is in him. My hope is in him. Lord, you are my provider. Lord, you are my protector. Lord, you are my master and friend, my healer and deliverer. My strength comes from you and my power from your presence. You are faithful and true and always, even in my darkest hour. I choose to live in obedience to your word and dependence upon your spirit. I will do your will. I will walk in your love. I will serve you from my whole heart. I will believe that your favor is upon my life and family and church, that you will bless all that I do in your name and for your glory. I believe your spirit is upon me and your anointing empowers and enables me to fulfill my calling with joy. You're working powerfully in my life. Fill me and use me to do great and mighty things beyond my human imagination. Say the name in Jesus' name. And when you start declaring your victory in Jesus, you win.
That's right.
Satan cannot stand all the enemies. Look, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, there were battles to fall, walls to fall down, more victories to be won. And that's what I'm praying God will do in me and you in the days ahead, that there would be more, much more. But you have to see it. Do you have a vision of victory for your life? A victory of his presence, a victory of his power and his promise. Do you seize it? Go and take it, Preston Wood.
Amen.
Take what God has given you. Trust what God will do for you if you will step into the promises of God upon your life. Because everywhere you walk, everywhere you go, you are walking in his word, walking in his will, walking and living in his victory. So say it. Stop confessing your defeat and looking at your circumstances. but start living in the promise that God has given to each one of us. The victory that we have in Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're just getting started. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you would say, Pastor, I want more in my life. More joy, more peace, more love. I want to pray more, love more, give more. I want to live more in the victory that is mine in Jesus. I want more, much more. Would you just declare that by raising up a hand? I want more. I've got two hands lifted up. And maybe just turn them open like open hands from heaven. Open up the heavens, Lord. Pour out your favor and blessings and power upon my life. Your healing. Yes, God still heals. Same God. Your healing. Your hope. If you're facing disease or cancer or even death, claim your victory in Jesus. Claim your victory in Christ. And thank you very much. For those of you who might have to say, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you were honest, you would have to say, I'm in the desert. It's dry where I'm living. There's no fruit or very little, and my family's a mess. My kids are gone off. My marriage is in trouble. I'm in the desert. And I want to move out of the desert and into the blessing that God has promised. I don't know what that is for you exactly, but I know there's more, much more than you could possibly imagine. And often when we see God's hand the least, that's when he's working the most. So don't think God's not working behind the scenes in your life, doing whatever and what only he can do. And 2024 can be the year of blessing, the year of breakthrough and bounty in your life. He's given it to you. Get out of the desert. It's time to go take what God has given you. But you have to begin with faith and obedience in him. And then there's some of you, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You don't have a personal relationship with Christ. You have a relationship with a church, even this church perhaps. You have a relationship with a family that knows Christ, but do you know Christ? Have you come out of Egypt? You're in bondage. You're in sin and rebellion against a holy God. But God loves you. Jesus died for you. He went to the cross. He paid the price for your sins. He rose again on the third day. And if you will trust in Christ by repenting of your sin and receiving him into your life, he'll bring you out of Egypt and out of death and out of bondage into eternal life. If you want that for yourself today, online as well as on site right here today, just pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin and I trust in you and you only to save me, to forgive me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I know I can't do this for myself. Look, you can't help yourself. You can't do this on your own. You already know that. So, Lord, I can't save myself. So I trust in you to save me. Come into my life to fill the emptiness and the big hole that's in my heart and to fill me with your presence and to give me the hope and the promise of eternal life now and forever. And if you pray that prayer, then thank him because he said, if you open the door, I will come in. So open the door of your life and invite Christ in today. Lord, we thank you for so many who are responding to your word today. So much life, so much liberty in the truth of what we heard today. So Lord, may your church, may your people be ready to move from defeat to victory, from death to life, from darkness to light. Lord, may we live in the victory that you have given us already because of Jesus. Help us never to stay stuck in the past in the desert, dying there, but to live in the promise and the promises, and to see them and seize them and step into them and say them, because our victory is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.